Amen. Let us pray. Father, we want to pray and ask that thou bless our Bible study this morning. May thy Spirit come and illumine and guide us. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Preparing for battle. Exodus 4, 19 to 31. The battle plan, 19 to 23. Battle order, 24 to 26. And battle ready, 27 to 31. Life in the service of God is a spiritual journey and a spiritual warfare. One late pastor declared, and he said, "Now the church is not a showboat, it is a battleship. We are at war." This message is a warning, a call to arms, but a declaration of victory. What is this battle? It is a battle for souls of men and women bound by the clutches of and bondage of sin and shame in their lives. How God has a plan to deliver men and women from the bondage of sin and grant to them the strength, the ability to live this life with the blessings of God. And the Apostle Paul said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You remember last Lord's Day we were studying the story of a slave girl who was saved by the mission team, Paul, and the rest of them who were at the city of Philippi. She was the second convert. What happened to her? Well, she was possessed with a devil, and she was miserable. This evil spirit come and indwelled her, and she was used bodily as a means for divination. So her masters would keep her bound in order that evil spirit can possess her, and they would use her as a human vessel to forward the devil's plan in this world. And so she was living a very miserable life. And when she saw Paul and the team, she saw a ray of hope for her. And so she pleaded, asked for help from Paul. And Paul knew, spiritually speaking, Paul could see the bondage that she was living under, and God gave the power to chase the demon out. And it's very interesting how this woman was released, and how that battle was won so swiftly, because the power of the devil, we said, is limited. God's power is greater than all the evil powers of this world. And you see that when Paul did this good work to save that woman, what happened after that? The master of the slave girl rose up and they reported them to the police or the authorities in the city of Philippi, and then they were immediately whipped and then cast into prison. But
You see, when they were in prison, what happened?
You remember? Our text tells us that they were there, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. You see, they are in this spiritual battle. And you know that the mission team were a team of prepared men. God prepared them for this good work, and they are vessels that are fully yielded to God in order to make exploits for God in the time of, in the prime of, you know, their usefulness. That was the prime of Paul's usefulness, and then there was Timothy that just came on board to help, and also Silas, and also Luke, and they began this mission work to found a new church in the city of Philippi, the first church in the continent of Europe, modern day Europe, was founded. She was the This slave girl was the second convert. And how we saw that, you know, she acknowledged the living and true God and understood the power of Paul's God, that Jesus is real. And true enough, when the Apostle Paul came, drew near, commanded the Spirit to get up, the Spirit immediately left. See, that was the power that God gave to a surrendered vessel. What great power. But the mission team also had to, in a sense, suffer persecution because of the rage of the enemy. The enemies were not happy, and so they threw them into prison. But what happened in prison? Well, they were not dismayed. They continued to sing praises to God. And then what happened? There was a great earthquake, and suddenly all the doors of the prison were open, and the chains that were on the team were broken suddenly. You know, as we said on Sunday, no stones fell on them, except, you know, they knew that the path was clear, they can get up. But they did not leave. God used that occasion of the earthquake to save the jailer's family. Right? The Roman official was in charge of the jail. Was so frightened, they thought that Paul would have run away and, you know, his life would be at stake. But Paul did not run away. And then he asked the question, what must I do to be saved? And what happened? Well, Paul shared, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And he believed together with his family, and how, you know, he took Paul and the team and nursed them, nursed their wounds. And they were bitten with 39 stripes, so every one of them badly hurt. Gave them food, rock. And Paul said, you ask the magistrate to come and bring us up. If you have done us wrong, then you better apologize, you know. So he knew that he was a Roman citizen. And you see how God was able to use the background, even the background of a person, you know, at the right time to be useful for them. So, you know, your life, the events of your life, the makeup, you know, of your life, is all in the hand of God. It's all a part of God's plan. And you see how the magistrate himself had to come and bring them out. And so you see, you have a picture of a battle going on, and how the men who were used of God receive strength from God to win the battle. So you see, what a marvelous testimony of God's grace helping His people in battle. Moses, in our continuing story, has been commissioned for battle. Remember last week we spoke about how many excuses he gave. He knew that it was a difficult task, an impossible task, by any standards. He knew that he had no ability, no power, no strength to confront the Almighty or the mighty Pharaoh, at least in the eyes of Moses. But what happened here is that God assured Moses that he will be with him to help him. And so God here provided, gave to Moses the marching orders. Now is the time for battle. Now is the time to rise up and be mobilized to go. Remember, Paul was in Antioch when Barnabas brought him all the way from Cilicia, from his hometown in Tarsus, to Antioch, where he remained there. And then the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for this work." And the church prayed, and they sent them out, first missionary journey. Same here. You see, the right time, the right place, the right person. God has a work to be done. So the battle plan was drawn. Three thoughts. The battle plan, 19-23. Better order, 24-26. And better ready, 27-31. Now, first thought, the battle plan. God called his servant and showed him the mission. Explained to him what he is to do, why he is doing what he is doing, and equipped him with the wherewithal for the mission. Remember, God told him that his people are crying and that their bondage is so great and they are in such a pitiful state. They needed help. Now is the time. Verse 19. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, "Go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life." You see, the Lord told Moses. Remember, he was a wanted man in Egypt 40 years ago when he left because he killed an Egyptian. And he was so frightened, he ran for his life. And I believe 40 years later, you know, that fear, that trauma, you know, of being arrested still lingers in his heart, in his mind. That's the reason why he fled Egypt. And so for him to go back to Egypt again, first thing God had to allay was that fear of being incarcerated again if he goes back to Egypt. So humanly speaking, right, God had to clear the obstacles. And God said to him, "The coast is clear." Okay, the coast is clear. So, you see, the human obstacles are real, right? The human obstacles are real, and we are not unaware of the human obstacles that confronts us, right? But, you see, the Lord will take His time, and at the right time, when it's time for action, you see that God will also prepare the way for His servant. So, for Moses, we see that his life was
prepared for this exodus out of Egypt. And you know what God will do is to bring 2 million people by his hand out of Egypt. So it's a massive project, you know, massive migration, unprecedented, you may say, and God will give them the law while they were in the desert. God's law will be given to the Israelites for the first time through Moses in the mount. And so this begins the period of Moses' effectiveness. God prepared him. Now is the time for him to take action. Our Lord Jesus Christ lived for 30 years in obscurity. 30 years where he was a carpenter, you know, in Nazareth. Everything was quite silent concerning the first 30 years of his life. Just one or two accounts. And that's it. Those were obscure years. Years whereby, you know, preparation was made. And the time came that his ministry would begin. And when God inaugurated the ministry, remember, he was baptized at the Jordan River and then began the ministry. He was cast to the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days and 40 nights. And how every temptation was overcome by our Lord. And then he said, this is the ministry that God had called him to heal the sick, to bind the broken, to bring the wounded, to preach the gospel. So, you see that there is that preparation time. And for Moses, now is a time for action. And he was told that all the men who wanted his life are now dead. So you see, God sees all things and knows the best time to accomplish his purpose. And God will tell you what to do. You see, if you are a child of God, you find that your life, you know, is properly guided by him. Do you have that kind of a understanding of God's guidance in your life? To do this or to do that? Do you wait on the Lord to receive his orders before you take a step? Each time you see that in the life of God's people, there is no accident. Every step is prepared by the Lord, and as a child of God, you know, you have a usefulness for God. And here you see, he was told that the coast is clear. The people who want him dead are dead. So, you know, he would be able to march into Egypt without people coming after his life. But the Lord also tells him that the Pharaoh will not accede to his request so easily. Verse 20 says, and Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. So he uprooted his family and he was prepared to make that journey. Verse 21 says, "And the Lord said to Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand." Remember, God gave him the rod, and God showed him what he will do in order to let Pharaoh and the people in Egypt know that this is the living and true God who is speaking. Do not defy him. Surrender to him, and you'll be spared. But the Lord warned Moses, right, that Pharaoh will be stubborn. Pharaoh will not be willing to let his people go. Although you do the wonders, his heart will be hardened, and he shall not let the people go. And then what happened? You see, God gave the battle plan. God tells him what will happen and what he is to do. Thus, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, verse 22, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And so, you see, God tells Moses that Pharaoh's heart will be stubborn and he will not let Israel go, but God will give the ultimate judgment to slay the firstborn of Pharaoh. What a frightening prospect to know of God's curse upon the Egyptians for their defiance. And you know, he was reared in Egypt and he was their prince, so he would have some affection in a sense for to not want to see all these things happen, you see. But the Lord said to him that no, they would be defiant, and he will not let my people go. So the Lord gave the battle plan. And if you were to look at, you know, the life of God's people, you'll find that each step of the way, God is the one who gave the battle plan. God gave the battle plan to Joshua to take the first city of Jericho, right? The Lord of hosts appeared, commander of, captain of the Lord's army appeared to Joshua and told him the strategy, right? He's to march around the city of Jericho 6 days, on the seventh day, march 7 times, and then they are to shout and the walls will fall. This is the history, okay, of God's dealing. God said to Paul, do not go to Bithynia, go to Macedonia, that's Philippi. Right? So God is always very clear what he wants to accomplish, and we are his instruments for his purpose. And Moses was an instrument that God will use during this time in order to glorify his own name, to know, to let the world know, right, that he is the living and true God, not all the gods of the Egyptians. Remember we said that the Egyptians had a god to worship each day of the year, right? So 360 days, 360 different types of gods. But God wanted to show them there's only one God, the God that gave them the now, the God that gave them the life. And this God is called the God of the people of Israel. And what can you do before the living God but to submit? We said about Rahab, right? Rahab was the harlot in the city of Jericho. When she found out that God is going to take Jericho, what did she do? She surrendered herself to the spies. So with the Lord, you know, we cannot fight against God. You know, we just have to submit ourselves to His authority, submit ourselves to, you know, His guidance, His plan. And so this was the battle plan that God gave to Moses. The Israel, the Egyptians will be defiant, but the ultimate curse would come upon them and they would have to yield at the end. So God told to Moses the plan, the battle plan. God is going to do all these things. Okay? Moses is going to watch what God will do. And we realize that indeed it's true, we are merely the human instruments for the Lord. The battle plan, the battle order, 24 to 26. Okay. You see here that Moses had to put his house in order in that his children were not circumcised according to God's stipulation for the Jews given to Abraham. How could he be their leader when he did not follow the known order of God that every male child of the Israelites is to be circumcised? And anyone that is not circumcised is not a part of Israel. And for that to be effected, well, Moses had to make sure. And so we see on our text in verse 24, it came to pass by the way of the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. What happened? Well, it seems here that because the house was not put in order, that his children were not circumcised, God's judgment was coming upon Moses himself. And it was a dangerous time. Right? Our text tells us that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. So his wife saw Moses could no longer be the one to enact the circumcision. The wife did it. Zipporah took the sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet. And here you see that the work was done. And you see how God prepares the family to be of service to him. 1 Timothy 3, the Apostle Paul gives the qualifications of the office of a bishop. He says that one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. If a man know not how to rule his own house, how can he take care of the church of God? Wow. This was God's criteria for leadership. And here you see how Moses begins this work by having to commit himself to make sure that his own house is in order. The children were circumcised. And this was what took place. And all this time, this was not done. And so, the Lord did this. And Moses was spared because of the circumcision. And of course, for Zipporah, she was the wife, or she was the daughter of the priest of Midian. But they learned, and they learned also to submit to the God of Israel. And they saw, you know, that this is the true God, this is the living and true God. And therefore, they submitted themselves to him. The children were circumcised. And then you see our third thought, huh? Better plan, better order, and battle ready. Verse 27. And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. You see how God prepares the way for his servant. Remember Moses said that I'm slow of speech. So God said, no excuse, I'll give you Aaron and he will be thy mouthpiece. And now God sent Aaron to him. You see, Aaron did not unaware of God's plan. But God spoke directly to Aaron in order to guide him to go to Moses to accomplish his plan. So, God's plan cannot be thwarted, right? He uses human instruments. All of it are in at his disposal, in his power. Just like Ananias, he was told to go and visit Saul or Paul at the street, cross street, and then to tell him that God had spoken to him and to bring him to the faith, heal him of his blindness. So again, you see, God works in a very marvelous way. He makes sure that all the human instruments to accomplish his purpose would synchronize and fall in line to the battle plan. So Aaron was there to meet Moses, to talk to and Moses, you know, told Aaron all the words of the Lord and the signs that God had given him and what God had told him to do. Aaron would be an important person for this work, together with Moses, at the request of Moses. And you see, God did this. And verse 29 says, Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And what did they do? Well, again, they speak to all the leaders of the people to let them know that this is God's plan. This is God's will. Now is the time. Israel will be delivered from the bondage of the Egyptians. And there is no discussion with the Egyptians. They will have to let my people go. And so the elders, the people of Israel, the leaders of Israel, believed in
they believed. The people believed, verse 31 says, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. So what did they do? Well, they surrendered themselves to the plan of God. God gave to them understanding that this is what they are to do. Remember when Joshua revealed the plan of conquering Jericho to the Israelites who were camped on the other side of Jordan? What did they say or what did they do? Well, they obeyed. Right? They obeyed all the instructions that Joshua gave to them. And that's how they took down Jericho. And so, you see, the purpose has to be, God's purpose has to be communicated. And then you see how they all bow in obedience to God, in reverential worship. The time has come for the Exodus. The battle plan, the battle order, battle ready. Amen.